Chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I'd like you to follow along as I read verses 1 through 11. We are entering a study of the life of Joseph, and I've been intrigued with this as I've been preparing my messages. The life of Joseph is such a magnificent life. Very ordinary in many ways, but also we see God working through this guy in a miraculous way. So follow along as I read verses 1 through 11, chapter 37. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the life of the patriarchs. We thank you, Lord, that as we look at the life of Joseph, we can see so many issues, not only in his life, but in our lives as well. So, Lord, we just pray that you'll lead and guide us this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What makes the Bible so powerful and relevant is that it shows real people who struggle with real issues. And we are starting this story about the life of Joseph, and we're going to find that he had family issues. Does anybody in here have family issues? Of course not. Well, I think we all do. And so as we go through these verses this morning, you might be struggling with some of the issues that Joseph was dealing with also. The first issue that we see in the family of Joseph, in the family of Jacob, and I guess Joseph being the son, is that there was polygamy going on. You know what polygamy is, don't you? Having more than one wife. And it seems like when you go through the Old Testament that most of the patriarchs practiced this. Now, it wasn't God's will from the very beginning that you should have more than one wife. And when you think about these patriarchs, many of their lives were troubled by their many wives. The wisest man, supposedly, who ever lived was Solomon. And do you know how many wives Solomon had? 700 and 300 concubines. 700 wives. Now, you have to understand something about the culture that Solomon was living in. Many of these wives were simply to solidify the alliances that they were making with kings and so on. And you can't imagine dealing with that. And then we look at the life of Jacob here. And he had, you could say, two wives and then maidservants. And he had children with them. You remember the story? How he fell in love with Laban's daughter. Who was her? Rachel. And Rachel had an older sister by the name of Leah. And it was a cultural thing that you would marry off the older gal first in the family. Well, you remember as you go back and read the story about Laban, how he deceived Joseph. how he deceived Jacob. And you could see that on the wedding, think about this. This was on the wedding day. You remember Leah had a veil over her? And Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel. And then to find out right then, when that veil was taken away, oh, I thought I was marrying Rachel. Well, he had to work another 7 years before he could marry Rachel. And then he also had children with Leah's maidservant, Zilpah, a couple. And then he had a couple with Rachel, and then a couple with Rachel's maidservant. So all he had 12 children, 12 sons, and maybe a daughter as well. And so we look at polygamy. Can you imagine growing up in a family like this? How difficult that would be. And all of the issues that would ensue because of these children and these four women who were bearing children to them. God says to you and to me, and he's always said this from the very beginning, that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 19. Have you not heard that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So God's will has always been one woman to one man. And whenever individuals step outside those boundaries, they're usually headed for trouble. And this was true when we look at Jacob's family. So God wants us to have one wife and wants us to have one husband. Now, there's another issue that developed, and that was the issue of bad relationships with his half-brothers. I had step here, but it's half-brothers. Relationships in a family like this, you can imagine how complicated they were and how difficult they were, with four women involved in bearing children, and these sons wondering where they fit in all of this, the oldest to the youngest. And then to compound things, we see that not only was the relationship bad, but Joseph didn't really help the cause. Look at verse 2. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, doing ordinary chores. And they were herdsmen. They were ones who would take care of the sheep out in the pastures and out in the fields. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. What are you doing, Joseph? Are you squealing on your brothers? I mean, what did they do that was so bad out there? And are you pretending that you're better than them? Well, we know from the rest of the story that I don't believe that was Joseph's motive. I think he was being open and honest as he was out there tending the flock with his older brothers, that they did some things that they shouldn't have been doing. And so now he's bringing this bad report back to his father. Well, you can imagine what his brothers thought about that. How many of you grew up with brothers and sisters in your family? And whenever you did something, if they squealed on you or tattled on you, how did you feel about that? You wanted to wring their neck, didn't you? I mean, that's just a natural feeling. How could you be such a traitor to me? I thought we were siblings here in this whole matter. But we see Joseph giving a bad report to his father about his older brothers, and we know their reaction would not be favorable. You know, this issue of bad relationships can happen in any family, especially if you have more than one. Well, you have to have issues to have more than one. I grew up in a family of five. I have four siblings, and we had issues from time to time. And my relationship with my siblings was not always what it should have been. Sometimes it was my fault, sometimes it was their fault. But fortunately, we still like each other. It's amazing sometimes when you look at families today, and in my counseling experience, that so often brothers and sisters don't like each other anymore. And it's partly because they grew up in a home where there was jealousy, where there was poor relationships among them. And that can happen in any home. And I trust this morning that if you are raising your family, that you want to strive to have good relationships between your siblings and between your children, because it's a wonderful thing to be in a house where there's peace and where there's tranquility and where there's love and where there is growth rather than destruction. Now, there's another issue that grew out of this in verses 3 and 4. Let's look at these verses. Now, Israel, and this is referring to Jacob, how did he get the name Israel? Well, Jacob had a night of wrestling with the angel. And we look at the angel as being the Lord, angel of the Lord. He wrestled all night. And he wouldn't let go of the angel until the angel would bless him. And finally, the angel blessed him. And Jacob let go. And so after that, he was named Israel. And that became the name of their nation. And the name Israel means wrestling with an angel. Interesting. And so we see Israel loved Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. It was Joseph and Benjamin who were the youngest. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Now, if you have a family, the first thing that you want to do is not play favorites. Do you know what happens if you start playing favorites in your family when you have 10, 12 children? The other children despise it, and they look at their siblings not in the way that they should, in a very negative and hurtful way. Many of you have grown up in families, and maybe there was one who was the favorite. Maybe you were the favorite. How many of you were the favorite in your family? Well, you don't want to admit it. You want to admit it, Billy? That's really being honest. Well, Jacob didn't help the cause by making him a special coat. Man, you talk about the brothers getting irritated. Not only did Joseph squeal on them, but now Jacob is showing that he is the favorite in the family, by giving him this special multicolored coat. That happens in life. You know as well as I do that there are individuals that grow up in a family and they're designated as the one who is the favorite. How did Jacob develop this? I want to read from Genesis 25, 24 through 28, because Jacob was a favorite in his family. And we're going to read about this. When her days to be delivered, that is Rebekah, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out all red, all over like a hairy garment. And I'm reading from an amplified version here. And they named him Esau. Okay, brother? All right. They named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came forth, and his hand grasped Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, and the name Jacob here means grabbing onto the heel, being a supplanter, and a supplanter means trying to be a deceiver and overthrow, to trip up. When the boys grew up, Esau was a cunning and skillful hunter, a man of the outdoors. But Jacob was a plain and quiet man dwelling in tents. So here we have twin brothers. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of Esau's game. He loved venison. Now we have many men here are what we call man's men. And the fact that they love the outdoors, they love hunting. And then we have men that are on the opposite end of the spectrum who are somewhat domesticated. And you know, you can't look down at either one. They were so opposite. Esau was someone that loved the outdoors. He loved hunting. And his father favored him because he enjoyed eating the game that Esau would bring to him. And it says, Rebekah loved Jacob. So you have to look at Jacob's life. I mean, he grew up that way. He knew he was the favorite of his dad, but he also knew that his brother was a favorite of his mother. And maybe you had that experience in your home as well. I want to talk to parents here, so pay attention. A large proportion of parents display consistent favoritism toward one child over another. This favoritism can manifest in different ways: more time spent with one child, more affection given, more privileges, less discipline, and feel closer to the same gender children than to opposite gender children. In mixed families, parents favor their biological children over stepchildren. In patriarchal cultures, parents simply favored boys over girls. I have 5 grandchildren. I have 4 grandsons and 1 granddaughter. Who do you think my favorite is? All of them. Well, that's what I'm supposed to say. But honestly, you know, I love my grandsons, but there's just something special about my granddaughter, because she's made of sugar and spice and everything nice. And those grandsons aren't. So I have an issue with that from time to time. But listen, I'm to blame, and I try to love them all the same. But when my granddaughter comes up to me and says, "Grandpa, oh, I love you. I love you too." She's so sweet. Grandsons, on the other hand, they do that too, but not in that way. You understand that. But I try to treat them all the same. And I try to let them know that I love them all, but it is hard. And so you can see the struggle that we all have as parents. So I just want to admonish you parents here today, don't pick out a favorite. Because if you do, you're going to make that favorite one the enemy of everybody else. They're going to say, "Oh, you always. You don't want to do that. Love them all and show that they're all your favorites. So what developed out of that? Jacob doing what he did by giving him this special coat. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, Well, we've already read these, but I'll read them again. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. What came out of this was hatred. Hatred. They hated him. I mean, that's strong in a family, isn't it? You grow up in a family and you hate your brothers. Not a healthy family. I've seen this over my tenure as a pastor. I've seen individuals grow up in a family, and they hated one another. They want nothing to do with one another. Well, that's not a family, is it? I mean, shouldn't you love your siblings, your blood relatives? You know, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. You can't choose your siblings, but they're part of you. You're family. I remember a time when I was in the elementary school, and I think I was in the 6th grade, and my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, was in the 4th grade. And my good friend, and we were good friends, he got into a fight with my brother. And at that moment, I turned on my friend, and I beat him up. I said, "Nobody touches my brother. If anybody's going to beat him up, it's me. Because I have that right as his older brother." No, I didn't beat him up. But I came to his defense. Why? Because we're brothers. Now, I want you to look around and understand that we're also not only part of a biological family, but we're also part of God's family. We're a family here. We're all members of God's family when we know Christ as our Savior. So how does God want us to treat each other in his family? I think he wants us to love one another and not to hate one another. There's so much hatred in the world today. Have you noticed that, by the way? Have you noticed the hatred in the world? I mean, it's amazing what sets people off. God wants us as a church family to love one another and to care for one another in the body of Christ. And may God help us to do that. There are churches that are bad. I wouldn't recommend them to you, where there is hatred and where there is the where there isn't peace and isn't love. There isn't love. Okay, let's go to the next issue. And this is the issue of his dreams. He was a dreamer, but not in a bad sense. These dreams were from God. I mean, he had no control over this. Just like he had no control over his dad giving him that multicolored coat. It wasn't like he asked for that coat. Jacob made it and gave it to him. Or at least gave it to him anyway. I don't know if he made it. But now we see these dreams coming to Joseph. And understand, he's a young lad. And he shares these dreams with his brothers. Understand that the brothers are older than him and wondering, why are you sharing these dreams with us? And they're questioning him as we look at these verses. Begin with verse 6, we read, "So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. His brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words." He is simply sharing what the Lord was giving him. And dreams are a wonderful way of communication in the Scriptures. We see in the Scriptures that many times individuals would get a dream from God, and God would reveal what was going to happen in the future. It was prophetic in a sense. And this is one of those dreams, because you're going to see as we look at the life of Joseph how this dream is going to be fulfilled and how God was providential in arranging all of this so that he could save the nation of Israel and deliver them from the bondage of the Egyptians. So we see this playing into God's plan for his people. I don't know how many of you dream. Did anybody dream last night? Anybody have a good dream last night? No? You know, sometimes we dream and sometimes we don't dream. You know, some of my dreams are some of the weirdest things imaginable. I mean, I'm dreaming something so silly, I wonder, where did that come from? I remember a guy telling me, he said, you know, before you go to bed tonight, you shouldn't have pizza. Because if you have pizza before you go to sleep, you're going to have some wild dreams. Especially if you eat pepperoni. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I know one thing I got was heartburn. That's definitely not healthy when you wake up in the middle of the night. But dreams are something that we all have. And in this situation, Joseph is simply relating to his brothers what he dreamt. And they didn't understand. They thought, again, he was trying to put them down and to think that he was better than them. And that was not Joseph's intent. But God was revealing these dreams to him because he was showing Joseph and even the family what God was going to do in the future. And we see the fulfillment later on as we continue to go through these chapters. And then we see in verse 11b, again we see that his brothers envied him, jealous of him. His father kept the matter in mind. So let's look at these family issues, because you might have some of them in your home right now. The first issue is relationships. Are your children having good relationships with one another? We need to work on that. Parents, you need to work on that. You don't want your children to grow up and detest and hate one another. You want your family to work through the issues as they develop. Another issue that could develop is favoritism. Parents, you don't want to do that. You don't want to pit one child against another. You want to let them know that they're all your favorites and to give them equal time and equal attention. It's so important to do that. I remember a time in my life when I thought there was a favorite in my family, and it disturbed me. And you know what happens when you allow that spirit to take place in your heart? You get kind of bitter towards that person, and you resent that person. And when I went to my mother and talked with her about some of the issues that were coming up between us, she relayed to me. She said, "Stan, you need to understand this one thing." She said, "I love you just as much as I love her or him," whatever it was, the issue that we were going through. And I'm so thankful that I had a mother like that. So moms and dads, tell all your children that they're your favorites. Now, another issue that comes up sometimes when we think of families is jealousy. You get jealous. You get jealous of maybe what you gave, what you got at Christmas or what you didn't get at Christmas. I remember that in my life. Several times when I reflect back on my life, I look at my siblings' gifts and I look at mine and I say, what's up? Why did I get this? And they got that. Well, I don't think my parents are trying to hurt me on purpose, but I also realized, and you don't realize this really when you're a young kid, because you can't figure it out when you're young. But I reflect back on it now, and I realize that my parents are doing their best to do what they could to give us equal gifts. But sometimes it didn't seem like it worked out that way. Jealousy, being envious of one another. And so, parents, these issues could have been resolved, I think. But unfortunately, I think Joseph had to deal with them all for the rest of his life. But praise God, as we continue on in these chapters, you're going to see a good ending to all of this. And in a week or two, we're also going to see what's going to happen and what's going to unfold because of their hatred. And here's one thing that you need to understand, that if you allow a spirit of bitterness into your heart, usually it grows into something worse. And you're going to see that in the life of his brothers. I mean, they hated him. They were jealous of him, envious of him, and they're going to try to kill him initially, and then eventually they're going to do something else. So you don't want that in your family, and you don't want that in your heart. And we certainly don't want that in our church family. Churches are made up of sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Wouldn't it be nice if we never sinned anymore once we became a Christian? Unfortunately, sometimes in churches, people get hurt. They get hurt by a sinner. And if we're not good about following what God's word says, we're in trouble as a church. I love what it says in Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Oh, that's something we need to practice regularly. I'm not up here to irritate you this morning. I'm not up here to make you angry or upset, but if I do, forgive me. Now, if you have an issue with me, that's one thing. If you have an issue with God's word, that's another thing. Let God do his work on you. But if you have an issue with me, come to me and let me know. Hey, Pastor, I didn't like the way you said that. And I'll say, okay, how should I have said it? I'm open. I'm not perfect. I mean, let's be real. Can't we be real in our family? The Bible's real. That's one thing I love about the scriptures is that it doesn't hide all of this. It shows what goes on in real life with real people. And I'm so thankful for that. Because I think sometimes we put these patriarchs and matriarchs on a pedestal, and we shouldn't, because they're no different than we are. We all struggle with issues. So what's your family issue today? Anybody want to share? Oh, no, you don't. I mean, we all have struggles, don't we? May God's grace be sufficient for all of us and our families. And may our families grow strong. And may our families be an example to the world of God's mercy and grace. Amen? And may our church be an example, the family of God, to everyone who comes through these doors, that we are a family that loves one another. We forgive one another. We work towards what God tells us to do. Wonderful ending about this story is that there eventually is reconciliation. But I know in families, people can get alienated. People can be separated. People can have problems. And we want God to do a work in our families. Father, we